views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
Prince Adam, because he's Prince Adam in Preternia, is hanging out being like, I still have red in my ledger. Like, he's still, like, needs shit to that he has to, like, finish. And at no point does he ever ask, is there, like, a side exit or anything?
I can just dip out, but...
Well, and now he doesn't know what happened to everybody else. Because as far as he knows, too, everything else may have been saved. And everything is honky-dory, doesn't have to go back. Plus, Grayskull says it's unnatural for them to go through the door. So, yeah. I mean, you pick up the vibe. You know?
But you're saying Adam was like, yeah, you know what? I like being picked on by all the school jocks the rest of my life. I mean, because they call him fucking Flea, all right? So you're saying that in no time he's like,
man.
Is there any way I can get out of this, like, you know, locker room situation where y'all just pick on me the entire time?
Well, I think that it speaks volumes to kind of what Scotty and I were talking about earlier about how he's not done and how he, there's just him achieving his own peace wasn't enough for Adam because he is the only champion not to choose his champion form.
As quoted by Grayskull, he's the only champion to choose his lesser self.
His lesser self,
to be
exactly.
in Preternia.
Yeah,
which was totally a setup for it, that to be his greater self. But
duh.
But I also do think that him as Prince Adam is He-Man. When you have that much power, being put in a powerless position is probably something that's, like, sexually satisfactory for you. So I think him being called Flea and being, like, shit on by all these muscle beefcakes in Preternity, he's just like, yes, daddy. Like, Prince Adam's, like, kind of into it a little bit.
Why?
Is this because of Kevin Smith? Is that why you're connecting some weird sexual reason
for
this?
Did you, whack off to your He-Man or something? I mean, it's okay if you did. I'm just curious why you went there.
This is the episode on He-Man. Revelation, which apparently I'm going to be sharing some revelations.
Yes, here we go.
We are going to be talking about the new series available on Netflix that is apparently, weirdly, a huge
flop.
Controversy.
Well, no, controversy, like the ratings are shit for it for some reason.
Well, no, the critical ratings are in the 90s.
Always look at the viewer. I can't stand the critics sometimes.
Well, the problem is that the viewer statistics are affected by people that are review bombing it, and which there's tons of people posting saying that they're actively trying to review bomb this show.
Why?
I would just say it's probably one of the more polarizing shows that have come out in the last year that I can think of.
It's like because this and Captain Marvel, I feel, are two of the most polarizing.
But it's almost what like where so people polarizing? Have such grand expectations that if it doesn't match it, they're shitting on it. And then
it's fucking He-Man.
And that's what I'm...
It's
fucking
He-Man, dude.
So I think people are shitting on it because it didn't do what they wanted it to do.
It's got a cat called Cringer.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, fuck.
A Cyclops with three versions of his eyes called Triclops. Fuck yourself.
Right.
Right? I mean, well, come on.
And even before the show was actually out, people were already trying to shit on it. Like, I remember, like, seeing stuff where they were trying to call Teela a lesbian based on it. And it's just like, first off...
What, because of her haircut?
Basically, it's all that
I... What the fuck, man?
Well, first off, who gives a shit? But you see some of the trailer stuff, the preview stuff, you're like, oh, she's muff diving now. Dude, if you look at the original cartoon, she's probably been muff diving for a while.
Yeah.
So, who cares?
Yeah, but I missed that episode.
Like,
she's been diving head first.
And now you know as I ride off my speeder.
They can write a show and not make it sexual at all, too. That's the thing, too. That thing exists where you're just watching this awesome chick who was raised by the number one fucking badass man at arms, blood lineage, training to be a fighter just like him. Oh, wait, now she's a badass and she's adult. Go fucking figure. Also, what the fuck?
Right,
they're mad about Teela possibly being a lesbian. And if you watch those old episodes of He-Man, that is one of the most homoerotic cartoons I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes. Not even just Teela. Yeah. All on the table.
There's a lot of like dry humping.
Let me get this tank door open as he like dry thrusts.
Man at arms, come around my back and help me out. Like, yeah.
Well,
dude, I'm so sweaty right now.
Let's get into the episode here.
I think we're into the episode.
Yeah, well, let's do the introduction so we can get into the beat. Beefy meat.
The beefy meat that
of,
it is.
That is Eternia.
Yes.
We're talking about He-Man Revelation. We'll be talking a little bit about the previous cartoons as well and the comic books. But we're going to be talking about the controversy, but also just our feelings on the show on this episode. Episode 219 of Geeks Under the Influence. Welcome.
Penalties at work and shall be again. A changing of the guards and dying's marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong, so you better
We have the power.
First that correction. Masters of the Universe.
Sorry.
Revelation.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's not He-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Which that should have been a fucking sign.
Yeah,
right,
which
should
help the argument when people are like, oh, there's not enough He-Man. It's like, well, it's not, he's on the fucking title.
The original one was called Masters of the Universe 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like it's, I mean, the fuck.
Right. But when you buy the DVDs, I will say it is He-Man and the Masters of the Universe because they really pushed that on people.
The original show scrolled across the screen, said Masters of the Universe.
Listen, motherfuckers, if
true. Yeah.
If you see George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic, George Clinton will be on stage. If you see Parliament Funkadelic, they have toured without George Clinton. That is part of the fucking game.
Truth.
Like, read the fucking title.
Right. And just to throw it out, and that's apparently where some of the controversy is sparking, is that how the show was marketed.
Sure.
And definitely used He-Man a lot, but it was all from the first episode.
Right, exactly. Well, and that's what... We're fanboys, but I'm going to say...
What?
No.
Go figure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Have you listened to the show?
It's all of the appropriate age to be obsessed with He-Man.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yes.
Completely, yes.
Absolutely.
100%.
But it's those specific groups of fanboys where you're just like, shut the fuck up and take it as it is.
Those people ready to be mad.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, as they are with Star Wars, as they are with fucking Marvel.
Exactly.
It's those same fucking bitches, like, all right.
Speaking of bitches, let's talk about the bitches on this episode.
I was getting ready to lay into it, but all right.
All right, well, I'll throw it the fuck back to you after we're done with the introduction.
Take deep breath in and get ready to release, brother.
First off, the Geek Father himself from Geek Fathers, we've got Scotty P here.
Hey, guys.
Happy to have you on.
It's been a while.
It has been a minute. Yeah.
I did a smack butt pitch up earlier this summer, but it's been a while for the flagship. So
Yeah, I'm happy to have you on,
and
man.
We just figured out how long it was when we were at VA Comic Con. It was like, God damn, it's been that long? Jesus Christ.
No shit. Like, my big joke is that I go on the rotation of the shows. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm doing GUI. I got to get back on from the Mouths of Madness, from Beautiful Disaster. I got to roll around, you know?
So Scotty P is here. Next to him is the gentleman that is the co-host on everything besides Geek Father and GUI.
Oh, power.
He
I want the power of the podcast.
He has the power. The gentleman that is carrying two parts of the power sword on two different podcasts. We've got Fuck You Hunter.
What's up, bitches?
From the Mouths of Madness and Beautiful Disaster.
Yes.
So you were definitely a motivator for this episode, but primarily because you were so actively motivated on us doing a G.I. Joe Snake Eyes episode.
Yes.
We held on for the last second on trying to do Snake Eyes, and literally nobody wanted to be involved in that one.
Yeah, there was a lot more chatter on Masters of the Universe than there was on Snake Eyes.
Was He-Man also Hasbro?
Yes.
Yeah. No, Mattel.
Correct. So it was the Mattel versus Hasbro is what we were dealing with. I remember that from the toys they made us, that they went to the fucking Barbie people for He-Man. They're like, cool, well, you can't use any of our molds, clearly.
right.
Yeah.
Too many muscles.
They'd have no kicks.
And it's weird just that you would have Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe property, and Masters literally come out the same weekend.
Right. Yeah.
All the toy nerds, and there were plenty at the con that we were just at, are probably like, man, this is my time.
Yeah.
And then Snake Eyes come out, and they're like, for He-Man, He-Man, fuck.
Yeah. Yep. I only want to see He-Man.
All that fanboy rage is directed at the wrong thing right now.
You know shit, right?
So. Yeah. I'm focused, buddy.
Avert your Snake Eyes to the Hasbro property.
I'm
thank
focused.
You.
True.
Yeah. Speaking of the one that is laser focused on his rage, my co-host on the show and helps me run the network here, my champion of GUI, that if we put each other next to each other, I'd be the Prince Adam. And he wouldn't be the He-Man version because they're like, no, this doesn't translate. You don't have the same haircut or like look
I
anything
see him as
like.
He-Man use Orko. I don't know. Like,
oh.
Hey, He-Man, look what I did.
Orko is still a badass.
See,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that Orko got proper fucking do in this series.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I felt like he finally got the props that he deserved. Now, he fucked up a lot, don't get me wrong, but also, okay, yeah, no, well, you know what? I am the Orko.
There
fuck
you go.
It. Yeah,
he consistently fucked up, but then they had that, like, one little scene where you're like, nah, dude, like, yeah.
He got it.
You got it.
I'm just still trying to figure out who's going to be wearing the loincloth, though, based on your analogy.
I mean,
I probably
still will be wearing
the loincloth. Okay, fair.
Let's
fair.
If Adam had pants, please put on pants.
Purple pants.
So on, everybody. So, yeah, I'm ready to talk about some Masters of the Universe.
Miestas.
And we got, last but not least, we got the man who, it's his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did it all for you.
It's all for you.
It's all for you,
Hobbit.
It's all for you,
Hobbit. Yes.
That'll be all of you jumping off the second floor here after this episode, being like, I'm done. I can't do this.
We'll wait until Halloween, so at least it matches the decorations.
There you go.
I should have done that with that goddamn squirrel girl. Be like, it's all for you, Hobbit. And we all just got our knees.
Because it was like you hanging yourself.
Pretty much, the squirrel girl.
Yeah. you are now proof that you have possessed girl squirrel. And you're
I'm just trying to stick with it, carried it, and delivered it.
I'm just trying to stick with my nickname, and I wanted to piss everybody else off by encouraging Squirrel Girl.
Unfamiliar, which is literally anybody that's not on the fucking network or wasn't there at our table at the con when it happened. Anybody that listens regularly knows that I have an obsession with Doreen Green, a.k.a. Squirrel Girl. And Hunter found a...
Deluxe, like, Marvel
Legends set of Doreen Green with her scooter and several squirrels. In a collector set that he bestowed upon me in a ceremony, if you will.
Yes,
it was very ceremonious.
Yeah. It was very sweet.
One day, a video will surface where he's actually taking it out of the box and he's playing with Squirrel Girl, and he's like, I heard you were looking for a nut.
And then there's the parts we don't want to see.
One day, like it didn't already.
Right. Like, what do you think he was doing all day Sunday?
I mean,
I haven't seen the package anywhere.
His
so.
One forearm does look a little bit bigger.
I'm Mike the Hobbit Green. I took
Mike
her
the
name.
Hobbit Green. Oh, yeah.
It's all but fault, check out GUIpodcast.com for all the previous episodes of this show and all the access to the other shows on the network. Social media links are there as well. Rate, review, subscribe, all that cool shit that you do for podcasts. Tell your friends. It's going to be a good time, hopefully.
And we'll love you for it.
Yes, and we will love you for it. Absolutely.
Oh, ready to go.
So,
you're ready.
Oh, man.
All these fucking people that just want to bitch about something, like marketing on the trailer. Like, the full-length trailer actually showed a lot of stuff outside of the teaser, which basically just showed He-Man kicking ass, mainly from the... first episode.
Duh.
The trailer showed a lot more, and people also people just don't know the man predominantly behind this. Kevin Smith's not an idiot. He knew that he couldn't just come out with rehashes of the original series. He knew that, okay, I'm going to get you in by pulling in the old stuff, get He-Man and Skeletor at it right out the gate, who's this fuck? Beastman.
You got to remember how simple the names are in this world.
You get every character that you knew. You get Cringer and Battle Cat, right? You get everybody. And then they're like, well, everyone's grown up. We're going to spend time around all these other characters and not just fucking He-Man.
Yeah. Because in our pre-talk, if you will, this is Masters of the Universe revelation, which means shit is going to happen that normally doesn't happen.
Yeah.
B, us, I know all here and basically GUI family are Kevin Smith fans.
Yeah.
So the fact of, and he's even said it in interviews. I was fortunate enough to see him in Jersey a couple weeks ago, and he admits it that he's like, if I didn't do this project, someone else would have.
Yeah.
He did not. I think he only had writing like afterwards, like just to nitpick a few things. He's executive producer. He didn't write. He didn't do the initial.
No, it says written by in the beginning. Yep, and
the first. Okay,
written by.
Oh, the first one.
The first one. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's pulling you in.
So he's head writer, but he definitely isn't the only person.
Yeah, he's not the only
this.
Person.
This project would have happened without him.
Yeah,
and very much the same vein that it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's.
But see, the nice thing is that you go in and you're like, okay, it's Kevin Smith. I was just waiting for like Beastman and Merman to like compare their cock size or something like that. And no, it's actually a well drawn out story. And Kevin Smith puts hints
in
there.
That's my point.
But it's not, again, you know, the Kevin Smith humor that we've all.
Oh no, there are some good one liners, but
and there are. But it's not what you would get from Clerks and Mallrats.
But you're exactly on it. No, it is. What it is. Like he didn't try to reinvent the wheel. He just wanted to expand what was already there. The writing is not like the dialogue is by no means stellar. It's simple. It's just
as
now we're seeing the world outside of just Adam's world.
Right.
That's really all we got was we know there's a whole world, Eternia, there that we never really got to see that much unless you traveled somewhere. Now we're seeing how everything's affected and connected.
I did think it was a little bit gauche, and like I liked it for the most part, but it was a little bit gauche. Means like a little.
Is that what the kids are saying these days?
Yeah,
no, that's what like 70-year-olds say. I think.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm in between. Cool, I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
I'm not behind. I'm not ahead. That's what's up.
But there was that moment where they're heading towards Subternia, and they pass by Eternia stop, and there's Beastman and Merman hanging out in front of it trying to sell weed to everybody in Eternia. Yeah. I thought that was a little bit a little bit unnecessary. It was a little bit self-celebratory. It wasn't necessary.
Right.
And Man-at-Arms like, let me get a dime bag. It's like $15.
Man-at-Arms man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But the whole point of this is that this is, and it's been mentioned just even here, this is supposed to be a continuation. We are seeing things that weren't there before. The world has been finally expanded, because if you go back and watch the old cartoons,
that's what I'm saying. There was you were limited.
You have your childhood memory, but then you're like, where's all the other shit that they've always talked about? This show fucking has it.
I'd kind of put this as the same way I look at Red State, and that it's a Kevin Smith movie, but it's not a Kevin Smith movie. I look at Kevin Smith's involvement with this show same way as Red State, where he's kind of giving it direction, but he's not putting his stamps all over it. He wants it to flow.
Right, yep. Exactly.
And everybody's approaching this, first off, like this is the end of the story. Like, it's not spoilers at this point. Anybody has gotten the spoilers thing. That there's, like, God King Skeletor. I don't think that's how they're ending this fucking story. Yeah, this is
no way.
How are they going to defeat God King Skeletor?
But secondarily, like, this is not the first time that you are better able to explain the environment surrounding a hyper-powered hero by removing them from the story. Fucking Justice League took out Superman.
Truth.
Titans, the series Titans, did the same thing with fucking Batman.
Yep.
Batwoman did the same thing. Like, time and time again, there's been so many stories told about what happens when the most powerful person, fucking Watchmen, the series Watchmen, when Doc Manhattan disappears, what does the rest of the world do? This isn't new.
And that's
the idea of taking out the fucking superpowered people that are the ones that are really controlling shit. Mm-hmm. What happens to everybody else? I love that story because that's what expands Eternia.
No,
that's all the mythos of all these characters that were only fucking side characters that were to sell action figures now actually get backstory.
Exactly. And that's just builds on what we started talking about. Like they weren't writing old hat, man. Like, oh, he gets foiled again. Oh, blasted He-Man. No, now He-Man? He's got the fucking power. Yeah. He has the sword. That's how they change it. The villain actually wins for a second. Like, and he gets what he wants. Right.
Yeah. Well, and the whole, they even have that one line of, which one is, was it Lockjaw or somebody saying, it's not just a plan being failed over and over again, essentially by Skeletor, we're moving on, we've done this.
It was all part of the plan, and to the very last scene.
Oh, yeah. I loved all the villains, like, shitting on Skeletor.
Oh, yeah, basically, and they've, what they've done is even pulled beyond, like, what I love is that the stuff that they've pulled from the mini comics from the original toy line.
Yeah.
Is what they've been doing, which is superb.
I love how they snuck in what seemed like Cronenberg in the second episode with the, you know, get away from the flesh and embrace the mechanics.
The flesh.
Yes. Literally, like, they're like, you know, you don't need this flesh. What you need to be mechanical.
It was like, hail, motherboard. No, hail the Holy Sprocket.
Holy Sprocket.
But it turned kind of like weird, like, you know, get rid of your flesh and embrace this mechanics and technology.
Yeah.
Well, it's something that was always part of the original series, but wasn't really focused on. The fact is that this is a very heavily fantasy element environment, but
for
there's
sure
hardcore technology that's happening at the same time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we always just kind of accepted that.
It's like techno fantasy, which there's very little of, like in cartoons or film and or in series, there's not a lot of techno fantasy. So fuck, if you have the like the king spot on techno fantasy, use it. Like, really play with that world.
Well, it looks like Triclops was taking advantage of the fact that, you know, magic's running out. Motherfuckers are going to the, you know, well, and it's like little drops. So like, hey, you know, you can trust this magic that's fucking dying everywhere, or join the machines. We got shit going, man. We'll repair your shit. You got new arms, new legs.
He didn't approach it exactly like that, but I get what you're saying.
Like a cult following. Yeah, but like a cult following.
Yeah. It sounds like, very much metalheads and punkers that start playing electro.
Yeah.
Like, like, get away from tube amps and join the fucking join Pro Tools.
Is that like when they added synth to 80s music?
Oh yeah,
that's
when Iron Maiden added synth to.
Those were the dark days, so to say.
Yeah, those are the Triclops.
We don't talk about that.
I just did.
God
what?
Damn it! But shit, I was gonna say something.
Aha!
God damn it!
Jump.
But I was gonna say, because I really, I did this before, but really, like, getting ready for the episode, I really explored some of the origins of where the stories came from. Because, again, if you don't know, this started out as the original cartoon was a ploy to sell toys, was yes. all it was.
So it was G.I. Joe. So it was
all the
shit.
Main plots were actually in those mini comics that came with the toys, not in the cartoon. And I thought it was, again, a good touchback because you mentioned how it's the techno fantasy. The origins of Eternia was actually any technology was eons old, and people were found it, and like Man at Arms were the only ones that could control it.
Yeah.
So that's where the good crossover happened.
This isn't the first attempt to reboot Masters of the Universe.
No, he did it like in the 90s.
But here's the thing.
Well, this is not a reboot.
All those, 2001, I want to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, all those attempts
oh, they did in
didn't really.
2001 too?
Yeah, yeah,
oh, yeah. There's well, like there's three. Cartoon, there's yeah. like three different ones.
All those attempts didn't really work till DC reached out and they started getting they started working on comics. And that's where people were actually getting into the comics because they were going with more adult themed like storylines.
Right.
And people went, this is what I want. I don't want a rehash of the 80s animated shit. I want more of, let's, you know, your fan base has
darker,
matured.
Yeah.
Let's,
darker,
let's move with that.
But it's still not, I don't really, when I watched it, part of what I loved about it was that I feel like I was still getting the same thing, but not old hat the way of telling it. So I don't feel like it was more, I don't really feel like it was that much more mature. Like, the story's mature, but the way they're telling the story, I don't feel it was more mature.
I mean, the beats of just the relationships, I mean, you know,
yeah.
I thought that was a much more mature than what you would ever have dealt with.
Maybe, all right, so I can see mature as society has evolved because they wouldn't have had a family squabble of telling you, oh, you're lying to me and this and that.
I'm talking about character interactions. Most of the time, you spend maybe 30 seconds on that. Here you have, you know, characters kind of confessing things to each other and building up. I mean, like, you get, like we said, what's his name? Little Magic Man. You get a whole backstory about how, like, his whole, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. The story's matured.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
yeah.
And what they've done is, because, again, even though the stories have been rebooted, this is a sequel.
Yes.
To the original series, which is great. Because apparently there is a reboot happening. As a separate entity,
yeah, well,
like separate project.
No, a kids version of He-Man.
Yeah,
like, it's
something
more kid focused.
But
okay.
This is for our age group.
Exactly.
Smith, well, again, he writes
but
it for his audience.
But like what you had mentioned, in this sequel, because of you taking out certain essentially characters for the plot, it's not just Stinkor going, I created a stinky bomb for Castle Grayskull. And that's all you see of him, like 2 minutes in the original cartoon.
Oh, he was so nasty in this, though.
Oh, yeah. But,
ugh.
And it was Jay Muse,
too. Though.
That was Stinkor. That's what made it really funny to
me. No, Stinkor only had to be in there that long.
Right.
No reason.
No, I know, but it was just so gross where he's just like, oh, fuck.
But
man.
You still got
that's
more.
That's what you want, man.
You still got more out of Stinkor in that one couple scenes than you did the whole original show.
No, I agree.
Which is great. Like, the robust storytelling compared to the original one is beautiful, I think.
I agree.
I'm loving it.
Well, that comes from somebody that is a fan of the comics and the cartoons that recognizes because they were trying to sell so many toys.
Oh, for sure.
They created this unintentional mythos that is so underexplained and so vast.
And for years, untouchable.
And untouchable. And so if you create a story where you're finding a way to incorporate all these characters that already fucking exist. Like, we were talking outside before that Scareglow wasn't in the original.
He was only a toy.
He was only a toy. So why not get Tony Todd to voice him?
Make him a scary motherfucker.
And put him in basically Eternia Hell.
Yeah.
To feed on people's fear. Fuck, that's rad as shit.
If somebody can be just that download, dirty, creepy, like that was that whole scene, like that voice. Oh, it's so good, so good. I don't want to, you know, you don't ever feel creepy generally from a cartoon, but
Tony Todd,
it's Tony Todd.
Tony Todd's got the chops.
Yeah,
he does. He's got the chops.
I do love how the show starts. The first episode starts, and you're like, okay, so we're just pretty much staying with the same beats, and that's where. End of the first episode, they go, no, we fucking killed some motherfuckers.
Right.
Like, right there, you're like, oh, because you just expect Skeletor's going to fail, He-Man's going to win. I've seen this before.
Exactly.
It's following all the same beats. And they're like, no, they're just a little burnt area where they used to be.
Fuck.
Well,
amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fucking amazing.
That first episode, as great as the other ones have been so far, that first episode was probably the most emotional because, A, the secret is out.
Oh, and Lita is pissed.
Oh, my God.
Well, the mother knows.
She's lied to the husband. Well,
she never officially knew. She suspected.
Oh, but she fucking knew.
But she knew.
That bitch knew. Yeah. Good luck. Fair. I hope He-Man shows up. Wink. She fucking knew.
But they foreshadowed the fuck out of it as well. Like when he's like, come on, people, listen to your king and queen. And she just looks back at him and goes, oh, shit. You know, it's like she knows. She fucking knows.
Because she reacts as soon as, like, you know, she finds out. She already knows.
Right.
And
she's
like,
telling the whole king going, your fucking son is a...
My
God
son
the king is a fucking dick.
Right.
First off, like, first episode out the gate, they're like, there's a few things that people have been, like, blueballed about since the original series, which is Skeletor winning once, like, needs to happen occasionally.
Right.
Like, at least temporarily. Yeah. And then also, like, people discovering his identity, that kind of stuff. And they were like, you know what? We're going to let you come. We're gonna let you, like, have those moments of, like, Teela being like, oh, fuck, it's Prince Adam. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, also, what happens when Eternia realizes that their fucking hero lost?
Yeah.
Like, now, granted, he took out the bad guy, too.
But he also took out the magic.
But he also took out fucking magic. Like, that was such a fucking, like, soul-dropping moment. The viewer, and also for fucking Eternia, that was way more emotional like response than I've ever gotten from the original
for
cartoon.
Sure, yeah.
And that was one episode.
Like the first episode.
Exactly.
The king's reaction was like, what do you mean? Like,
I will say,
my son!
He's like, you're fucking done.
Well,
you're
also,
fucking out of here.
How dumb is he? Like, how did he
Especially, he pulls that one line earlier in the episode where he's like, I hope to say something great about my son one day as he's talking to his son.
There are
you
only two people that have the page boy cut, and it's He-Man and his son, and He-Man's not taking fucking beauty notes from Prince Adam.
Right. So, exactly.
Hello.
We're just going back to the Superman mythos. Superman.
Yeah. Oh, he combs his hair one way and combs his hair the other way.
Purple tights or loincloth.
It's like to the right if he's Superman and to the left if he's Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Get the fuck.
So,
out of here.
You can get away with that and without questioning.
Yeah, but at least in this cartoon,
they made
Prince Adam like kind of gangly. Whereas in the original, he's like a brick shit.
Oh, yeah. No,
he's the same size.
The toy is
literally the same size.
Literally He-Man with a white and purple shirt on.
He just doesn't have the leather daddy look going for him is all.
I will say, at least I like how they made him like fucking ginormous. I don't know what the animators were, but it definitely reminds me of, like, manga style, like Ninja Scroll.
Well, actually, the animator was Rob Liefeld.
No. Because he didn't have tits.
He didn't have tits.
Yeah, he didn't have tits.
But, I mean, it reminds me of, like, the Castlevania style artwork.
That's why you never saw He-Man's feet.
It reminds me of the...
He did when he was riding Battle Cat. Fuck you.
It reminds me when they first introduced Bane in the comics.
They're in stirrups, motherfucker.
Where when he would inject the venom, it would make him like triple muscles.
Huge. Yeah, yeah.
That's how they did He-Man. It's like a shitload of venom.
It made sense when you saw all the other champions like, oh no, all you motherfuckers. Okay, you all are big.
Like that scene exhibit came out. I was like, oh, you like muscles? I'm putting muscles on these muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but I will say that with the growth of the characters, we already knew that Man-at-Arms, he was one of the biggest side characters that got a hell of amount of actual play as far as for the fighting scenes. But holy shit, that had, outside of Lita, because I want to get, we definitely need to touch on her, but like, the growth in the storyline for Man-at-Arms was beautiful. I mean, it was soul-wrenching, dude.
Father.
Yeah.
Like, as a realistic
father. Like, he was one of these crying. Like, my love, like, please.
Like, I'm sorry.
But he's this dude that will literally do flips and shoot you in the face with lasers.
Right. Well, you're also talking about, man, that not only balanced the secret of He-Man.
Who's protector of Adam.
Protector of Adam and protector of the royal family. And the some of that origin story stuff I told you, he was one of the few people that could do technology in a magical world. And the original episodes, he would be like, I have a new invention. It just so happens it fit the story for whatever Skeletor was up to, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's sitting there raising a daughter to be like him, knowing who the daughter's real mother is, but sitting there going, sorry, you're an orphan, but I'll love you like my own.
And
so
what's fucked up is
this one time I fucked a bird woman. And
basically,
that the disgrace he felt of how he, when he actually realized when Lita, you know, as Lita was an adult, like what he had been doing to her because her and Adam were best friends.
Are you saying Lita?
Teela.
Sorry, Teela.
I was about to be like, we're not talking about Lita Ford over here. No. Okay.
But the disgrace that he felt from lying to Teela and how much he hurt her, Not to mention the disgrace he felt from like a job perspective of like the king banishing him.
Right.
So you see that when he finally goes when they pick him up and he goes out to help them, he's using his fucking helmet as a fruit basket.
Yeah,
that's where he's at. That's where he's at. He's using his helmet as a fruit basket.
I do love that. He drops the fucking fruit.
But no, like,
yeah, good to
just think about a man like him. Just think about a man like him and the pride he has, and he's using his helmet as a fruit basket. Like, that's where he, that's,
dude, the motherfucker built a robot.
Yeah.
Like,
out of his own mentality.
Robot. Right. I know they have mechanical shit throughout this world, but he built a fucking robot.
An AI.
AI with his memories.
When he dies, it's like, I feel fear. And people are like, cool. And he's like, no, like, this is the greatest thing. It's that I am more than just a robot. I'm a miracle.
It was tell him that he created a miracle. Awesome. It was tell him that he created a miracle.
Also, this world is full of like muscly beefcakes, like men and women, like, either way,
all around, yeah.
But man, can somebody like get a stylist to make them realize that just take off your fucking helmets, because like everybody that took off their helmet was suddenly like incredibly hotter. Like Tila took off her little fucking headband thing, took her hair out of a bun,
right?
And then I was like, oh, fucking, like,
oh, the witch, fucking,
Evil Lynn, even Evil Lynn, Evil Lynn, Lynn. Yeah. Like,
that
you
gray
can,
hair, yeah,
you can fucking curse me as long as I come before.
I mean, like, Evil Lynn with that white ass hair, and then Lena Headey as
Lena
the voice.
Headey, also.
Lena Headey. Oh, she knows how to be evil and make you like get a hard on at the same time.
I never thought I would hear Evil Lynn say bollocks. All right, I'm just gonna throw it out there.
That's
the part where she goes bollocks. I'm like, did that fucking happen? Really?
That totally
also
happened.
I love they called attention to how fucking stupid her name was. Where
she's like, yeah,
was like
Lynn. And then...
Well, yeah, that I was named Orko because I was supposed to be Oracle and I didn't say it right, which also was fucking.
Oh,
brilliant.
That was so hard.
Yeah,
fucking
that was so awesome,
man.
Dude.
God.
And then it's like, is that why your parents named you like Evil Lynn? And she's like, oh no, I added the evil later, and it's like, oh, so you're just Lynn.
And the fact that Skeletor the fact that Skeletor calls her Lenny later.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lenny.
Yeah.
But what that suggests is that Evil Lynn, at one point when she was in like fucking eighth grade, listened to Bauhaus once.
Yeah.
And went, I'm Evil Lynn now. And they're like, well, it's better than last week when you were like Dark Shadow Storm Cloud or whatever fucking goth name you came up with.
She has the most turnaround, I think, in the
character. Oh, 100%, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where she's like hesitant when Skeletor shows up.
But at the end, she's like, I was just beginning to like you guys.
Yeah, a little bit, but I think there's
going to be some play there for sure.
Without
she
a doubt.
She sees the odds, and there's a gigantic fucking Skeletor. Yeah, fuck you guys. I'm back on the team I want.
Prince Adam just got slapped around twice, you know, so it's, yeah.
Well, and the same thing's going to happen with a lot of his minions when they come into part two, where you're going to have Triclops and Beastman and people kissing the ring a little
Beastman
bit.
Beastman literally was like, you're back, cool. And he just walks over. There's no, like, you know,
he's like,
kind
I know my place.
Yeah, no, he's like, cool,
over. He's in love with Evil Lynn. But that's from the original show. That hasn't stopped. That's the only reason why he follows Skeletor is because of her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's a simple man, if you will.
His goal is to protect her.
Right.
You think he would be like, no, fuck this. I'm going to fight against him, not kill this Skeletor motherfucker so I can get my female. But he's like, nah, I see what the writing on the wall. Fuck it.
As we're talking about the names of these characters, I'm like, really? Is this the show you want to die on a hill about that it didn't do it right because Tila got too much time? Tila's the only normal name person in this entire fucking show.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've got Evil Lynn, Beastman, Gilman, Merman.
Gilman. We're not talking about The Office.
Gilman. I'm just saying Merman, which is a joke in Zoolander, you know, but also a character in
He-Man. Man, which was a great usage of that character.
Yes.
Fucking brilliant.
I could go on and on about, I was talking about Moss Man earlier.
That was a great scene when he sets him on fire. That's that shot.
Oh, my God.
The animation was, that's another thing that improved drastically.
Well, best way to show the stakes right out the gate is that you kill some motherfuckers and damn.
That lives and is a protector of Grayskull as well. Like,
it's weird because some people have bitched about the animation and I don't know what they want because I thought the animation was exactly on point. I didn't think
I agree.
I don't think it was invincible like detail completely, but I didn't think it was too
abstract.
Well,
it was a completely different style animation.
Some people
updated
were like,
is the only
animation
way I can
was lazy.
It,
no, it wasn't.
No,
it was the style.
It was clearly computer drawn, and maybe that's what they're pissed about, that it's not like hand-drawn animation, but
fuck, dudes, do you want it? Do you want a part two in 4 years, or do you want it like in 6 months? Because that's what we're looking at here. And everything's done. It was a little shinier than I liked.
It was shiny. Yes.
It was a little shiny. But that's a minor thing. It didn't affect my appreciation.
You can definitely pick out where they had some CGI effects that are like, just have the computer do it. We're not even gonna do cell animation. just put it in there.
Oh,
they
there
won't
were
fucking
a few where
the
I'm like,
boats, the boat, and like the different like ships and stuff like
is
that.
Like, is Eternia in the reboot universe? Is that what's happening now?
Oh well, speaking of the animation, where you definitely saw some difference, but it worked. How much did you love them bringing in the original vehicles?
Yes.
Especially for all the bad guys.
Yes. You could see the difference on the in the shot
but it
when
worked.
That came in.
That was the whole
and
thing.
And how impractical those are, some of them are.
I don't remember seeing the tank that had the feet. Do you remember the tank that had the feet?
I didn't see that either.
Well,
there's still part two.
There's
still part two, so you never know.
So is this a limited series, by the way? I don't think it was released. Yeah. It was just like an ongoing. What is this?
As far as I know, because of the other reboots that are happening from Mattel and stuff, I think after part two, done.
Oh, fuck me.
Which sucks because, like, they... Oh, man, talk about...
I could be wrong, hopefully.
That would suck.
The rich world was there for the taking, and nobody had done shit with it ever. Ever, ever. And Kevin Smith and crew came in there and went, let's create different tiers of Eternia, and let's, like, explain all this shit. And they did it in 2 hours.
Yes. Yes.
Two fucking hours.
I'll just say this. You obviously want your show to get a huge amount of, like, positive reception. But the next level is what's happened with the show, which is a lot of passion both ways. And guess what? That makes people want to watch it either way. So if you're not going to get 100% people going, the show is fucking badass, then you have at least this where it's, I love the show, fuck the show, and people go, well, I need to fucking watch it. So you
say
there might not
still
be
press.
You say there might not be a second season, but
yeah,
we had this conversation at work about some people complaining about, and I still don't understand how they're saying they're saying it's woke, and I'm like, again, that's why I brought my original comment about, like, wait, so they focus on a character who was raised by pretty much the most badass non-champion human in Eternia, and she grows up to be a badass.
It's
how does that not compute?
Well,
it's simple.
She has a vagina.
Yeah.
So
that's about it. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Still raised by one of the badass killers in Eternia to be also a badass killer.
But I'm sorry, did being raised by a badass give her a penis? No, then that's why she's woke.
Honestly, you got three female characters that are the main characters after the first episode. That's all you need. That's how simple people go.
Who else were they going to get? What else? Who? They all were bad. Who else? Oh, God!
There were people that called Atomic Blonde woke because it was literally a lady action movie. Yeah. Or
was
fucking
anybody complaining about Columbia being woke or Haywire or any other fucking...
If it came out now, yes.
God,
probably. 100%.
Fuck all of you fucks.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Basically.
It's so fucking dumb.
I remember the first time I watched
Alien. It's the worst reason in the world.
I remember the first time I watched Alien and just yelling at the screen, so woke. Like,
right. Fuck
Alien.
You, Laurie Strode. How dare you attack Michael Myers?
Right. That was my whole point where... The show hadn't even been released, but because there was any indication that it wasn't just He-Man. Now, you could be like, hold on, He-Man's not the main character. Let's see what happens. No, people were like, fucking Teela's a dyke, bro. What?
Yeah. And all this is online. What? They were
Are
like,
you serious?
We start talking about it. Someone's like, oh, I didn't know that dropped. I didn't even know that was a thing. I want to watch it. And then someone looked it up and like, yeah, there's all this shit on the internet about all this controversy. I'm like, it's fucking He-Man.
Right. Well, it's not,
Space Wizards,
but it's Masters of
the Universe. It's Masters of the Universe.
There is not one single episode of that of Revelation that doesn't have He-Man in it.
True. Right.
True.
It's Masters
of the Universe.
Prince Adam or He-Man
is in every
single
Wizards and technology
movie.
In a fantasy world. Like, why? Why?
Right.
Why are we...
There's a fucking ghost wizard in this show.
Yes.
Like, what are you... Right. Why, what? Exactly. Like, why are you that concerned about... That's even with the Star Wars stuff, and granted, I have opinions about like the prequels and the original and then the Disney stuff and everything, and some stronger and weaker ones, but at the end of the day, it's fucking space wizards with laser swords. Like, you've got to know where to fucking, like...
You draw... There's a line, dude.
Out
yeah.
a little
there's
bit.
A fucking line, and it's just like, calm the fuck down.
You are so worried about a very muscular man in a loincloth and whether or not he'll be around to help the other
His
people.
His name is He-Man.
Right.
and you talk about woke. Before they, them was He-Man. Like, he was using fucking that format before Twitter did.
Yeah.
True.
What do you call me? True. You call me He/Man.
Yeah.
That's
recognize what I call me.
That's my preferred
He-Man.
Pronouns. Please follow. Yeah,
preferred pronouns is He-Man. That might be the name of the episode.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
I go by either He/Man.
Yeah. Right, that's it. Because do you have nothing in your life that you're like, and the thing is like, if I could at least like understand where they were trying to say, but like, I don't, what is woke about that?
Literates that they're oil covered beefcake, bondage.
Oh, say the loincloth, whole, no, say the whole dude. Quote, please. I know the,
oh no, like I would have to look that up to get the okay. whole fucking
look,
thing, but
it's a reboot. You have female characters in the lead roles. Some people feel like that's just forced, and that's not how it would have been written if it wasn't for the situation we're in, and can't accept, no, that's how the direction of the story went. It has
do you
nothing
realize
to
the guy who is like the main writer and has a crew has been doing it since the 90s, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They realize
no
that? It's not like it's a new
society pushing them.
Some people have had not the revelation that females can be a strong lead.
Let's see
what I did there.
This is what I put on on Geek League of America, which is a page I follow
so
on Facebook.
It's so good.
And it's I'll just read the final part, not my whole fucking diatribe, but I can't wait for part two where He-Man is Prince Adam for most of the episodes and toxic fans flip out because they don't care about Prince Adam. They just wanted their loincloth muscle daddy to smack around the bad guys more. I get it. A bulging, oiled-up beefcake wrestling furries and a goth wizard might have been a gateway for some of us to explore our sexualities later in life, but don't blame Kevin Smith for wanting to inject more plot.
Yes.
Nice. Well done.
Exactly. That's the one I was talking about earlier where I was like, copy-paste. Yeah. I mean,
what do you have to work with? He's like, I have all this information that I can create more mythos with, or muscle guy beats fur man. Like,
right. What the animated show is.
Yeah,
I
that's
mean,
all
there's
it is.
No
yeah.
groundbreaking episodes of the original series,
nope.
right?
He-Man doesn't try to get Teela off of Oxycontin.
Exactly.
Like, there's no, like, fucking after-school special.
Man-at-Arms has to have a discussion about abortion with, you know what I mean?
Like, Man-at-Arms, like,
right.
talks to He-Man about his steroid usage.
Skeletor has to take Evil Ed to abortion clinic. Yeah, like, right. We don't have those episodes, all right?
It's God!
All right, and that's a good place for us to go on our break. We're a little overdue. But
Evil
yeah.
Lynn going to the abortion clinic? Yes.
That's not the name of the episode. But we'll be back in just a minute. Take a listen to some of the other shows on the network that you can take a listen to at GUIpodcast.com. We'll be right back with sponsors, What We're Drinking, Drunken Scene, and more Masters of the Universe talk.
Yes.
There
yes.
you go.
Yes.
I
good
even
job.
Fucked up.
It'll
good
be
job.
A revelation.
Scotty feels the need.
There it is.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things He Masters of the Universe. Almost fucked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into our conversation on this new series on Netflix, let's talk about our sponsors, the ones that help us get a little bit of cash so we can buy new equipment and support our booze that we enjoy on this show. First up, of course, is Amazon.com. Fuck Jeff Bezos. The way to stick it to the man is by supporting Amazon, but then through our link at GYPodcast.com so that we get some of the money that that Jeff Bezos doesn't get to keep.
Teach him a lesson.
That'll teach him.
Yeah.
That'll teach him not to make a dildo that goes into space.
I don't know how to do
the
fucking Amazon ads anymore, especially after he shot himself to fucking space.
I just do it like nothing is different. He's not in space.
Ultimately, we all know that he's fucking evil and Amazon has some issues and shit, but if you are going to shop through Amazon, if you don't, cool. No fucking problem. No, like, respect. But if you do, because of necessary evil convenience, just make sure you go through GYPodcast.com. So at the very least, some of that money isn't going to Amazon. It's going to us instead.
Yeah.
So, he's not making any more money off of Amazon. He got like demoted or like fired, didn't he?
I mean, he's still making
he's
money.
He's still making
off
money.
Of
yeah.
I'm sure he's
going
to have a percentage, he's just but he's not running it anymore.
He's not
right?
the CEO.
He probably
anymore.
Holds the most share. So yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's still Jeffrey Bezos.
He's still a big old penis.
Dr. Evil, as I like to call him.
Better way to support us, honestly, where you don't have to worry about Jeffrey Bezos and his bald head being shot into lower orbit is TeePublic.
TeePublic.
Place where you can get all the merch, pretty much all the merch, except our exclusive stuff we have at live events, which some of you actually maybe listening might have picked up a little bit of merch from our table at VA Comic Con this past weekend, which, by the way, any new listeners that are listening to us that found us via VA Comic Con, welcome.
I hope this shit show.
I wanted to say welcome at the beginning, but I figured I'd wait for the ones that stuck around for the second half.
Yeah.
The ones that are like, okay. I never thought about evil Lynn having to go to an abortion clinic.
Yeah,
cool,
now you do.
Now,
right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You never know.
So thank you for sticking around for the second half. If you liked the merch that we had available at the con, there's plenty more, close to 40 designs available at TeePublic. Go to GYPodcast.com/store. Or just go to GYPodcast.com and click on the store link. That'll send you right to the TeePublic page where we've got close to 40 designs from this show, all the other shows of the network, as well as fun, weird designs from me and other people involved with the network.
So, fun stuff, if you
fun
will.
Fun stuff.
It's so much fun.
Very weird stuff. I one of my personal favorites is the Never Nude Doc Manhattan that we have.
Yeah.
That was a fun one.
Tobias. As Doc Manhattan is pretty good.
Is that what the Watchmen episode? Is that what that came from?
I think there was a Watchmen
episode.
Yeah.
The series.
Yeah, that if it was on like FX instead of having like a blue dong hanging out, there'd be like the Never Nude shorts.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
That one. So.
You want to know my favorite?
What's that?
My face on a pillow.
Yeah, I know. Why did I fall?
You're just taking advantage of new listeners bringing that
damn
up.
Damn right. Yeah.
Pillows are an option, so if you want to throw a pillow for your couch that has our face on it or any other designs, that is an option, as well as onesies for your children if you want to ruin them early.
Yeah,
true. Or stickers, buttons, all sorts of stuff available. Just go to TeePublic through our links on our website, GUIPodcast.com. And that's our sponsors. That's it.
Done.
Yay!
Now we get into the things that really make this podcast go. It's not our jokes or our friendship, although that's helpful. It's a little thing called What We're Drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Woo!
Yeah.
I still forget about the bow part. God damn it.
So I've been playing with my mixology a little bit, and so I apologize ahead of time if this doesn't turn out exactly the way I want. But I made a drink called the Orko for everybody at the table based on one of my personal favorite characters, and I guess you could guess why. It's one with the worst jokes.
True.
I did like that they preserved the dad jokes in He-Man.
Oh,
they
yeah.
definitely still had
oh,
that.
Oh, fuck yeah.
But Orko is definitely the one that delivers more than anybody else. Every time he casts a spell, it's a dad joke.
Basically, yeah. All right.
It tastes like basically nothing.
It's just boozy.
It's a little boozy.
It's a boozy liquid Jello shot.
I need something more to it. That was a mixture of flavored sparkling seltzer, strawberry mango flavored, but you could use any of the seltzers that you want, even unflavored.
It's clear, yeah.
with a shot of vodka apiece. So like four shots, so that'd be a shot apiece for all of us, with cranberry juice, lime, and grenadine was my mixture on this one, with a swivel stir. And it's drinkable. It's not...
I like, drinkable? It won't murder you?
I'm not going to get like screamed at, but it also... A little too heavy-handed on the grenadine. Probably more lime would have helped this exponentially a little bit.
I would have done a rail rum. A rail rum.
Mm.
My personal favorite.
Yeah, I think the vodka's kind of kicking through a little bit.
Yeah.
It's because vodka's so, not bright, but burny.
Yeah, I guess
is the right way to put it.
Yeah, I would say maybe don't do this version of it. But if you want to take the elements that I incorporated here and maybe do some different things to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then
it's got some room for tweaking. I like the idea of having a GUI exclusive drink, Orko. That thing, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So we just need to tighten up on what needs to happen to it. Good.
Now, we are going to move on to our next segment while we're sipping on my delicious beverage that I made for everybody.
Yes.
A little segment that some people love, some people hate, but at the end of the day, it's called Making a Drunken Scene.
Making a Drunken Scene.
But I decided to fuck with everybody in the world by not choosing anything from Revelation, but another He-Man property that,
to say the least,
is from maybe our generation, starring Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
We're talking about the live-action Masters of the Universe movie, and both scenes are from that movie, because you're welcome. The first one is He-Man and Skeletor. Is there anybody that wants to...
Skeletor.
He-Man.
Of course. Cool. All right. Well, that was easy. All right. And then, Scotty, do you want a Skeletor or Sorceress? I'm cool with either.
Ooh. Which would you prefer? I'll give you first choice. It's your show.
You know what? I did a female character the last episode, so if I could do Skeletor and you do Sorceress, I want to see how sultry you can get with Sorceress. Oh.
It will not be no Lena Headey, but I'll get sultry.
All right. All right. Cool. So we got it down. So, He-Man and Skeletor from 1987's Masters of the Universe, whenever you two are ready.
I have the power.
Fuck.
You will no longer stand between me and my destiny.
But I will. I told you that it's always between us.
I ache to smash you out of existence. To drive your cursed face from my memories forever!
Enough talk.
Yes, let this be our final battle.
What was happening?
First off, it's Dolph Lundgren, not Stallone.
Hey, true. I've got the power, though. Okay, Paulie said I have the power.
Was Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah,
it was.
I have the power. Fuck him.
Steven sounded like he was doing Jason Mewes doing the song from Clerks 2, like Grandma, what was it like?
not at all came through my mind, but I just kind of wanted to do a higher
inspirato.
Well, it was either super deep or super high, depending on what you did, and you went deep. So, because I was going to do like a death growl.
If you think about it,
a lot better.
Canon did that. He did the Master Universe movie. They got Dolph Lundgren, but literally Stallone did the arm wrestling movie with Cannon right before that.
Oh, right.
So we could have had Stallone as He-Man. So, yeah.
Oh, God,
That would have been incredible.
Stallone with blonde hair?
Oh, yeah. That
would have been terrible.
Speaking of incredible, we've got Skeletor and Sorceress here with me and Scotty P. So starting with Mia Skeletor, we're going to get this going.
Do you hear, Sorceress? The final moment has come. All the forces of Grayskull, all the powers in the universe will be vested in me. Me! And all you will cease to exist.
It is not too late to undo this madness.
Madness! I demand of destitution, shame, and loneliness of scorn. It is my destiny. It is my right. Nothing will deter me from it.
Men who crave power.
God damn it.
Look back over the mistakes of their lives. Pile them all together. Call it destiny.
Thank you for that bit of philosophy, Sorceress. Here is my response.
Cling.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, sorceress, the sword of Grayskull, mine, now and forever.
He-Man is brought forward.
Your champion.
Da-da-da.
You were like, I don't know if you saw me doing this, you were on the nose for Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill,
got to say that is one of my least favorite things about it.
We've talked about it like off mic, but I don't think he did a bad job with Skeletor.
It was so
Mark Hamill Joker with a little more gravel to it that it was clearly Mark Hamill.
And he brought a little more in of the Skeletor aspect where he was, you know, the
yings.
Well, there was change of tones, but still when you're sitting there, like if you look away from the show for a second while he's talking.
Joker.
Yeah, it's totally Joker from Batman animated series, you know.
That's why I appreciated him in Invincible, where he doesn't sounds like Mark Hamill, especially, not Mark Hamill doing Joker.
As Scotty said earlier when he says Lenny, that is such a fucking Joker thing to say instead of Harley. Yeah. Harley.
Yeah.
It was Lenny. It's the same, kind of vibe.
Or if you watch The Flash on CW, Trickster, like he used that similar kind of voice. Like he,
which was just them finding a way to incorporate the Joker live action.
Oh, yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, look. All love for Mark Hamill. Like, let's not get it fucking twisted. I'm just saying, like, as far as voice acting goes, I don't know if his range is wide enough when he has to do like extreme characters to not sound the same.
He has a decent range. It's just a matter of
what has he done that defines his range.
Well, I'm curious. After Star Wars, his big niche was doing like video games and voices for there. I think. It's almost become a natural thing for him to have that go to.
I don't disagree.
Like, you can tell the change in tones, but it's almost automatic for him, I want to say.
Yeah, someone should be like, hey, man, work on that a little bit.
Right.
But, I mean, in the same instance, we're talking about Skeletor from, like, the animated series where he was so over-the-top villainy sounding. I mean, what's Mark Hamill, unless he utterly changed everything, it's going to come out pretty close to Joker.
Also, the executive fucking producer is Kevin Smith, so the moment that he got Mark Hamill in the booth to do Skeletor, and Mark Hamill was like,
He-Man, oh, Harley,
and he's like, fuck it, yeah, let's do that. Just sitting there.
Are you going to tell him no?
Jerking his dick, being like, I've got Mark Hamill doing the Joker voice for Skeletor, fuck it, this is perfect, I love it.
What other choice would you want him to make, though?
But also, same... If I was in his position, I'd been like, yep, don't change a fucking thing. I just want to watch you do that voice.
True.
You ask what else do you want him to do? It's not up for... It's like the voice actors, at least from my knowledge, they show up and they do multiple takes to get the voice right.
I'm curious
And actual voice actors, they can do anything with their voice. Well, so it's not like it's a go-to.
Right. And some of them are niche. Like, if you think about it, with Tara Strong from Miss Minute, from Loki... That is very much Harley Quinn for a lot of the way she talks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just put a slight more Southern accent on it.
I'll throw out a suggestion I would have liked to hear as a voice of Skeletor. Fucking Clancy Brown.
Oh, fuck.
Just like a deep fucking Skeletor. Yeah.
Well, like a grumpy grandfather voice.
Yeah. That's who I thought was doing
Who has awakened me from my slumber?
But it was, what's it? I don't have IMDb pulled up. I mean, I was going to say that in general, the voice acting has been phenomenal, even though the voices didn't always match who we thought, but Clancy Brown, I thought was Beastman, but it was another guy who can do a very similar voice. He's done similar voices and some voice acting as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it would have been nice to see that different, completely tonal shift with Skeletor, but I'll tell you who actually fucking nailed it was, the guy who voiced Battle Cat Cringer, Office Space, my stapler.
Like, yeah.
Dodgeball. Oh, yeah. Oh, Man in the High Castle. Sorry. I got to give him props for his recent shit.
Yeah. Fucking Man in the High Castle, like, beautiful.
Him as fucking Barry. Cringer. Huh?
Barry.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched Barry.
I haven't watched Barry yet.
So, Liam Cunningham.
You act like everyone's fucking watched Barry.
Liam Cunningham was Devros in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Him as Man of Arms was the best.
Fucking great.
Hands down.
Fucking beautiful.
I got to say my favorite character, if anyone hasn't guessed, out of this new series is Man in Arms. He is fucking awesome.
And just finding out now that Roboto was voiced by Justin Long.
Yeah. Dude, as soon as I found that out and I was doing my rewatch today, I'm sitting there going.
Steven Root. Him as Cringer was like perfect.
Right.
Like, it really was. It fit.
Honestly, the most out of place voice
I have no idea who
that,
the fuck he is.
That we talked about was Sarah Michelle Gellar as great.
Tila?
She's a great actress. She could do voiceover work. It just did not fit with
some
Tila.
Some of the scenes, like when it was supposed to, when she was supposed to something like ecstatic, it was so lazy. It felt
well the intense stuff like should have been like more of like a I don't have fear. You know, I don't have fear.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it felt just timid and lazy. And
right.
And maybe it's because I do a lot of editing. I feel like there a lot of people actually recorded in a similar studio, so the levels were relatively the same. I mean, adjusted for their volume. But I feel like Tila's voice specifically felt like it was recorded in a different studio with different inputs on it.
It was.
Actually, I found out during some of the... Actually, I think it was some of the stuff that they have on Netflix about where they talk to the people. The very first episode was able to be done in the studio, but then COVID hit, and they all had to record at like home studios or certain other studios. They couldn't record together. So there is a difference after the first episode.
She says about her husband actually taking like a workout room and turning it into a recording studio.
Mr. Freddie Prinze Jr. And I think I want to reserve judgment on her. I mean, there's definitely some inflections that could have been a little bit better, but it might have actually been the recording style of her audio that makes it sound a little bit like it would be something that anybody that hasn't worked with audio wouldn't even register as being different.
So is that what I'm hearing?
I think it might be.
Because she sounds restrained when it seems when she should be either like super loud. You know what I mean? Like, I forget. Yeah. She did something where it was like, you know, this isn't, you know, what she said, but it was like, let's go. And it was just like.
Well, something you said for being remote away from the engineer that is helping you.
Well,
is
there's
that
dialogue director that pretty much follows, gets everybody on the same beats of a conversation.
Yeah, and they're doing the scene with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or so, just even telling them, okay, so you're talking to them in this situation. They didn't really have that in person.
Yeah.
I mean, it was communicated. But without knowing the beats of the conversation, you're just going to say it the way you say
it. Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and give her, not necessarily pass, but like some understanding.
Just
on
give
her.
Pause
yeah.
on
right.
circumstances.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not a matter of, it's great quality work she does. She,
like, I wasn't annoyed by it.
No, but it just felt like it didn't fit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
was the main thing.
Anything.
Yeah.
You know, no, not at
also,
all.
Also, a little side note, Griffin Newman was the voice of Orko, and if you don't know that name, that's reasonable. He hasn't done a lot of stuff, but he was Arthur in the newest version of The Tick that was on Amazon Prime.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
So that's where he's best known from, but he also has a podcast called, you'll have to look it up because it shows on Not Our Network don't exist.
Yeah.
So
true.
Very immature Hobbit.
Okay, it's called Blank Check, and actually, I'm gonna look it up later. So.
Yeah, I was saying like I wanna check it out.
Yeah, no, I'm totally gonna check it out. I'm just trying to fuck around,
but we already mentioned Lena Headey.
Yeah. Yes.
As far as because we didn't really dive into the voice, but you're right. What's his face is
well that should
Game
be key for this because again, overall the people who did the voiceovers top notch shit.
They fucking killed Orko. They killed him.
I know.
No, like, he sacrificed.
Like, no, well, you know, I mean, Kevin Smith killed Orko.
Yeah.
And which actually is also a good name for the episode.
Right.
But,
I was about to say, Kevin
no, that's
Smith
too much spoilers
Orko.
In the episode title, but maybe.
And it's also
maybe
rough.
Yeah.
Maybe a shirt design. But,
Silent Bob's
Silent Bob killed Orko. But
sorry,
the thing is
I thought that way too funny.
In the moment where he died, he had more relevance than he ever had in anything that had ever happened before that in Masters of the Universe.
Yes.
I wanted to make sure that I'm glad that has been brought up because Orko, I think all of us loved Orko to an extent.
Well, no, he was annoying as fuck.
Right. But during
so am I, so.
Well, I know we do tolerate you, but. During the original show, he was kind of like that buffoon, but sometimes his magic worked for the better of whatever was happening with the story arc. But this one, and I think we even talked about it like randomly as a group, you know, because the showrunners talk, is just even in the trailer, just showing all of a sudden he was fucking badass. And that's what Orko needed.
Well, oh, still have it in me?
Yeah, exactly.
He found a purpose. I mean, because look, when we run into him after the first episode, he's just fucking slack-ass roomie with fucking Man of Arms, all right? Like, he's just, like, they're whittling away.
He's not slack-ass. He's dying, fucker.
I know, right? Yeah.
Like, there's a difference.
Well,
no,
he got booted out of the castle, you know, obviously.
He was dying, okay? He, like, until he got his magic juice, he was, like,
but he's
kind of
tagging along, making a few comments, but it's not really till him and Evil Lynn get transported where you get that backstory where you start to go,
right?
Oh, okay. Like, all right, now I'm starting to learn about this character.
Yeah.
Do you see how the costume changed from, like, when he's in the castle and he's, like, a full wizard robe? And then after the fact, he's, like, trying to walk around swole in a fucking, like, wife beater. Like, he's like, got his guns out. He's like, ugh.
Deezing it up.
Yeah. Well,
and that was one of the great things.
Orko's Diesel.
Orko's Diesel. But that was one of the great things because, again, with all those 80, oh, Jesus. With all those 80 shows, all the costumes stayed the same. None of them changed. But in this one, you saw the progression, like Man at Arms, how, like, even his shirt was just, like, patched together with other fabric.
They're almost to the point of apocalyptic state.
Yeah, exactly.
This is fucking Attorney of Fury Road. Like, this is, like, borderline. Not quite there. It's actually more like the first Mad Max.
Water, it's magic water, right?
It's like the first Mad Max where, exactly. like, the world hasn't fully
it's
gone
just
into this
starting.
Array, but it's starting to.
I hope in part two, there's, like, a little bit of a time gap, and then we get actual Road Warrior and Eternia.
Where, like, Skeletor has been in charge
for like, a little bit, and he's like, fuck shit. But, dude, oh, talk about really taking it to the next level.
Shiny and chrome.
And that's... Oh, fuck, you threw me off on that one. God damn it. Shit. I was going to say, that's where you get your tank with the feet. That's all chromed out,
maybe. Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so it's like stomping around.
If they don't pick it up right after and he has that time gap and it shows how much he can fuck stuff up being a master of the universe, like, that would be such, talk about taking it to the next level of actually expanding the world and the story where not only does the bad guy win one day, he also gets to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
While he's
right,
he's
I throw it out there. It's going to be like, you know, part of Back to the Future 2 when Biff takes over.
Yeah.
Where, you know, literally, like, everything's fucked up. And
everything's fucked up.
Yeah.
I want it like that.
Skeletor shows up with, casino. Like, clearly a comb over.
A receding pompadour.
Oh, can we get Beastman with a cowboy hat like fucking Billy Zane?
Yes.
There you are.
But at least, like, whenever it corrects itself and you know, whether it be Teela or, you know, He-Man does it or whatever and he wins, Skeletor's got to, like, just belt out a blast.
Ah, blast! It was in my palms!
You brought up a good point, though. As much as they've been leading in part one, I'm waiting for the part where Teela gets to break badass once they finalize that she is a daughter
of
the Sorceress.
She broke badass.
No. As daughter of the Sorceress where she's going
to
come in,
to it.
Mm-hmm. She's going to come and correct with Eternia and be like, this is our planet, motherfucker.
Let her discover her fucking powers.
Man at Arms is like, since, you know, I promised I wouldn't lie to you again. Story for another time. Motherfucker!
Yeah,
you're right.
Well,
God damn it!
That even goes back to Scareglow was like, something is different about you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just a typical Eternia type person.
Well, what's-her-face? Is that...
That's some fucking end of Guardians of the Galaxy. You're not just a fucking Terran bullshit.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Like, exactly.
Like, he wants your daddy. Oh, God! No, but...
Now all I need is Orko being like,
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Oh, God.
Taking somebody out of Subterranean.
We just need to cross all the streams. Just cross all the streams.
Well, apparently anything's canon now for the multiverse. So we can do anything.
The ultimate GY crossover episode.
So who do we think Teela's mom is? Is it the one wizard? The one sorceress?
That was in the original series. The sorceress from Grayskull, that's Teela's mom.
Yeah.
Well, and it alludes to Man-at-Arms being the sorceress.
A bird lady.
Yeah, that's what we're. That's
whatever. I mean,
hey, when in Eternia.
Before she got old from trying to protect it. I mean,
what happens
bad
in Eternia stays
exactly,
in Eternia.
Right,
sorceresses
exactly.
need dick too,
dude.
Well,
she's
alone in a castle with a fucking skeleton mouth. Like, she needs somebody to put their mouth on her. Bird
no, you can't
vagina.
Make. You can't make it work.
I can't make it work.
But they even alluded to that in the original show of Man at Arms and the sorceress kind of being like, hey.
Yeah,
what's happening?
That's all they can do is
you know.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. So like,
else.
But the fact that it was actually going to come out, and I was like, God damn it! Can you just fucking?
Can you imagine he like walks out of his house? He's pulling feathers out of different places.
Oh no!
What'd you just do? Don't worry about it.
I feel like actually the way that they're going to sum this up is because she, that's the big reveal for her. Everybody else, everybody spoilers. Knows. Man at Arms knows, fucking bird wizard knows, like everybody knows.
Bird witch
knows. That's gonna be the big reveal to her, and that's when she, Quill in Guardians 2, starts to get in line with her power and stuff.
She's gonna have an Infinity Stone,
but it's gonna be like in like Thor in Marvel, where it's like the power was within you the whole time. It wasn't the Mjolnir, where they don't need the orb to come back to bring magic back, because she just needs to realize her fucking birdness to like bring magic back.
What if he just, Man at Arms just had a thing for sorceresses, and it was Evil Lyn, and she's just so disassociated with the power that she doesn't even acknowledge and really try to connect with Teela.
You know, he probably likes the bad girls too. I mean,
what if he just had a thing for?
Well, that's where you have like a paler version of Teela that shows up and just like, yeah, Man-at-Arms fucked all the sorceresses back in the day.
Yeah.
Cocaine was a problem in Eternia back in the day.
It was the 80s, to be fair.
Yeah, it was it the was 80s.
He invented a machine that made cocaine. I mean, it's just always there.
Oh, shit.
They went to Studio Triclops and
well, what do you think? Because Man at Arms did kind of have that dish thing in front of him. What do you think it was filled with? I mean, it's right. Just he'd just been down every so often. And
what is the point of that giant dish anyway? It's like this giant triangle
to hold his cocaine.
Yeah,
no, that's but it. I meant seriously. What was the point? It seems like an obstruction that would hinder.
He's like,
fighting.
At Arms, what do you think I'm armed with? Cocaine.
Yeah, way to go all the time.
Do you see the flips I do? Bitch,
right? Have you seen the giant fucking laser that he builds because he has the
that's
energy
why,
to wipe
out the that's why
the
army was impossible to beat is because they were all just fully jacked on cocaine. Fully.
The Eternian Royal Guard high on cocaine
all
the
of them
whole time.
Lousy with it. And not cut. It wasn't.
Oh, no.
It wasn't
pure
it
was, raw Colombian bang
pure,
bang.
It was cross subterranean bang bang.
We're talking about magic cocaine. All right. That shit lasts for days. All
that's
right.
That's it. I like that one a little.
Subterranean bang bang. All right. I feel that's a good note for us to finish out here because we're right at the tail end here.
Man.
We could absolutely
we
wax
could
more
go
poetic.
On a whole other episode.
But the plus side is there is a second half. That
yes.
No matter the haters, the viewership on this show has been significant. Netflix is definitely going to have a second half happening.
Fuck the haters.
So
fuck
is the ratings haters. Because of the haters? Because it's like a 4.7 when I looked yesterday on IMDb.
Yeah, that's the haters. It's, that's the haters.
The problem is that there's going to be such a huge fluctuation, and then it's going to be because what normally happens with shit like this is that you have the little fanboys going. And it's not He-Man in a loincloth and whatever. Give it about another month when the actual people sit down, watch it, ignore the other motherfuckers like we do.
It'll level out.
Right.
I feel like
it's Master Universe. I don't give a fuck.
I feel like all four of us are just saying, just give it a chance, you know? Like,
exactly. For sure.
Remember that it's Master of the Universe. One, please, going into it. And then watch the world building.
Well, and also remember that it's people that have created this were people that are the same as us that grew up. Not, and I'm not even saying Kevin Smith. What was it? The main guy that did all this was like pushed Mattel and other people to do a proper He-Man sequel to the series for like over a decade.
And I think, if I'm not, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the original series is on Hulu.
It's available somewhere for sure.
When I say remember it's Masters of the Universe, if you forget, go back and rewatch a couple episodes
and just to
understand.
Right. Yeah.
Because I feel like, I mean, I think that's a real thing. I think not us, but I think people, there's some people that like it's so built up that they don't actually remember what the content was.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's part of it too.
Well, and go back because again, internet.
Yeah.
You could go back and check all the mythos and then really see what this show has done to include the mythos that wasn't in the original show.
It was there though.
Pulling stuff from the comics. Pulling
fucking
there was
the
stuff where they
series.
Again, Scareglow, the castle in Pre-Eternia, the heaven was only a toy as well. It wasn't anywhere else.
Oh yeah, the
castle part, you know, with the like the lion's mouth or whatever it was, where they made the blah blah blah. It was all stuff that was now is properly included in the universe that wasn't before. It was just a toy.
He's just making the toys canon. Yeah, that's
right. And that's exactly. And that's what I was going to say is the second half. Man, there's so many characters we did not see the first. I want to see giant bee dude. What's his fucking name? Buzz Off?
Oh, yeah.
Buzz Aldrin.
We did not see Ram Man.
Ram Man. Oh, that's what I'm saying.
We didn't see Manny Faces.
We didn't see Manny Faces.
Dude. Fuck.
I want Scuba Steve. I want all of them.
You motherfucker.
But no, I don't know. For some reason, I love that character in the original animated series.
Manny Faces.
Yeah. He was just fucking awesome.
Look, that's a fucking, Jesus Christ, that's a perfect example. If you were taking this series.
Manny Faces
is the name of the character that has many faces. Fuck off.
What are your expectations with that?
You don't get to be that mad about this.
You don't. You really don't.
All right, so that's a good place to fucking cut it. I want to hear what you're excited about on the second half of Masters of the Universe Revelation. There's so much. Still, they expanded the universe so much, and even so, there's still so much more they can do with it on the second half. So I really hope that this isn't the end of it. I hope there's a 3, 4, 5, 6.
Fingers crossed.
But that means that people gotta fucking calm down.
Yeah, people need to chill the fuck out, man.
And this actual is, reviews. Actual. That's all.
Do legit reviews.
We're recording this less than a week after it came out. So
literally 5 days.
I guarantee within a few weeks of this coming out, people are going to actually not worry about the reviews and actually look at it. And there's going to be a response of no, wow, this is actually surprisingly good. I don't know why it got such bad ratings. And there's going to be a major response.
And judge it on what you watch, not who is involved other than the voice actors. I would say, judge the voices, because what we've said has been pretty similar to some of the legitimate reviews I've seen.
I'm pretty sure.
Watch it for what it is.
I'm pretty sure Joe Rogan is Kevin Smith's Skeletor. And
fuck
he just
Joe
sends...
Rogan. Sorry, personal opinion.
Yeah,
again.
No, fair
I'm
enough.
Sorry.
Okay, no, let's finish this out. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you sticking around for all this fucking nonsense.
Oh, yes.
But I love the series. We want to hear what you think about it. So check out GOIPodcast.com for all the links for our social media. Check out the previous episodes, other shows on the network. Rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. Tell your friends, share. Share on social media. That is the best way for us to get out to other people, is you sharing these episodes for other people. And we'll find you next time. I have the power. I'm Mike the Hobbit. Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit!
Jesus Christ.
Motherfucker.
I have the power.
Join us or die!
GUIPodcast.com.
This one time I fucked a bird woman.